And welcome back to the Roundtable on a Tuesday morning. 9:13 is the time. Ray Graff here, and it's the Roundtable panel. We're about to convene it. We're waiting for a few stragglers to come in, but the weather's bad. If you are about to hit the highway, take it slow today. Slowly, I guess. Roads are a little sketchy in spots. You can email the panel by emailing panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. As always, just a subtle reminder to keep the letters brief. We get a lot of them, and we like to read as many as we can. No links, no attachments. Proofread if you can. The panel today consists of WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. And yourself?
Well, you know, as good as could be expected.
Okay. Well, that's a good start for the day.
I would think so, Raymond.
Investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. The Empire Report's J.P. Miller is here, and you made it through the snow, and so good to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Ray.
We are still awaiting a couple of folks on the panel today. Libby Post will be here at some point, and I believe Jen Smith from the Berkshire Eagle, who has not been here in some time.
Wow. She's on a fellowship.
And that's a long drive for Jen.
It is.
But I hope that she comes so we can talk to her about the cool project she was on.
Absolutely.
And why she hasn't been on here. In the meantime, we'll get down to business. The House Rules Committee expected to meet in a marathon session to set the parameters for the debate over articles of impeachment for President Trump. The committee hearing set to begin mid-morning with the full House debating the articles of impeachment tomorrow. The House Judiciary Committee accuses Trump of betraying the nation by abusing his office and of blocking lawmakers' efforts to investigate his actions. Trump denies those charges, insisting he's done nothing wrong. House Democrats anticipate a handful of their colleagues will vote against impeachment, while Republicans expect their ranks to remain solidly behind Trump. There was a huge document dumped yesterday, 678 pages, and I obviously have not had a chance to read that. Rosemary, have you had any of the details, the highlights of that?
I thought you were going to pick on Alan first. You're catching me unawares. I think that it is extremely detailed, as you mentioned, and it brings up actual federal charges that the Democrats are alleging that Trump committed.
But those aren't in the impeachment, though, right?
They're not in the impeachment, and that's on purpose. Nancy Pelosi made a decision after a lot of controversy and criticism within her caucus that legal charges would just further complicate an already complicated process that Republicans don't want to hear about at all. So, for example, bribery means something in commonplace parlance in a court or in a sort of court like impeachment is. It has whole different meanings. So she didn't want to get into it. However, they did put all of that into the supporting document. They alluded to all the reports that have come previously, including Mueller's, which they see as background and support for their impeachment charges. It's an interesting approach.
Alan, if they had items like wire fraud available to them, which is in this report, wouldn't they have, if it was legitimate, would they not have put that in the impeachment?
No. I think Rosemary has it exactly right. They didn't want it. They wanted to keep it extraordinarily simple in a way that the American people could understand. But this is a case of, I'm sure my fellow panelists will agree with me, of having your cake and eating it too.
Right.
Right? I mean, because by putting it into this huge report and all the background material about the bribery and about everything else and about the Mueller report, they are able to continue on the mission, which is to educate the American people as to what's gone so wrong here with this president. And I think it's an effective way of doing it. It's not the best thing in the world if you want everybody to understand it, then you bring them up on those charges too. But, this way, there's only two charges. They're pretty simple. He won't let anybody come up and testify. That's obstruction of Congress, right?
Right.
I think the bribery is implicit in his asking for a favor to make that happen. So.
And are we going to see in the Rules Committee, are the Republicans going to, do what they did last week in terms of trying to delay it a day, trying to fight every point, trying to introduce motions, or are we expecting a relatively regular procedure today in the Rules Committee?
They're having a fight within the Republican ranks on that very point, JP. I was just talking to your cousin PJ about that. Okay, so there isn't a cousin PJ, but okay, so they don't know whether to make it go long or not. Now the president, for his part, is saying, "I want a long process, and I want a full trial." But we know he's a lying liar, and that he says things that he doesn't really mean. He said it with the Mueller report. I want to testify. I'm definitely going to testify. He didn't testify, and I knew it from the beginning he wasn't going to do that. So there is some dissonance, and CNN has been running headlines this morning that there's some discontent among the major senators about the role that they should play here. I think the White House is nervous that all you need is one. One breaks and you'll see a stampede like you never saw before.
And did the Democrats, for putting out this report and having all this stuff in the report but not charging impeachment, do they risk being criticized for, you know, if all this stuff was, you know, bulletproof, you guys would be doing, you know, running impeachment articles on this? Is that an attack that they're going to be hit with by the Republicans?
They're going to be hit with everything they could possibly be hit with. We all know that. We saw during the House hearings incredible rage from the Republicans being faithful to Trump. Nevertheless, it didn't seem to stick, at least the way I'm looking at it. It was a lot of talk, but not much there.
Rosemary.
Well, the Republicans already are using that line of attack, I would say. They've said, oh, well, we're not hearing anything about bribery now because Nancy's just looking for anything to throw against a wall and stick. And that, of course, totally belittles the idea that she's considered it carefully and thinks this is the best way to proceed, not like she's looking for something and flashing about for it. And the job will be up to the Democrats to explain what they're doing, that there are many things that he could have been charged with, including from the day he started in office, that whole Republican charge. They've been trying to impeach him since he got into office. He has been doing impeachable things since he got into office. Mm-hmm. That message seems not to be expressed because, again, and my old thing, Democrats just are not taking control of this.
Libby Post is here now. Hi, Libby.
Hi.
You made it.
I made it. It's a little messy outside.
What do you think about the massive report that was laid upon us yesterday by the House?
Well, I haven't read the whole thing. I think it's over 600 pages.
It is.
You know, and I haven't even gotten through the executive summary. But, you know, I think that Jerry Nadler's a smart guy, and they're laying things out. And, you know, I understand, Rosemary, that you want headlines out of this and more
messaging.
I think that they have to be cautious and make sure that they have all their ducks in a row and are moving forward in a way. I trust Nancy Pelosi in this situation. And I think they're cautiously moving forward to make sure that they don't lose control of the process and to be able to push the Senate Republicans. I agree. If one goes, and I think Mitt Romney might be that one to go, because I read a headline, you know, saying that he's trying to whip up votes for the trial.
Well, you know, Libby, you have a point, because we are reading today that moderate Democrats who have not declared previously because they're in districts that went heavily for Trump, they have now saying, yes, I'm going to vote for him, including under criticism from constituents.
That's right.
So you may be right.
And they're finding their backbone. I mean, what those Democrats are doing is showing the rest of them, the Republicans, whether they see it or not is another story. It's time to stand up for principles. It's time to stand up for democracy. It doesn't matter if I lose my seat. I have to stand up for what I believe in. And that's what we've been missing for so long in all of this, is people standing up who could lose their seats, who are, you know, who are marginal, but they're standing up to do the right thing. You know, and we saw that in Watergate, too. We just, the Republicans were a little quicker back then, and I'm just waiting for them, you know, a few brave souls to stand up. If they could do the jury verdict vote in private, Trump would be convicted.
In trouble. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, the email address here is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org, if you want to join the fun here today. Rosemary Armeo is here, J.P. Miller, Libby Post, Alan Shartok, still waiting on Jen Smith. She emailed a little while ago saying, skating. So she's coming from the Berkshires,
yeah.
And she will take it slow. How are the roads?
They're messy. Central, I came down, I went to Wolf, and it was okay, but coming down Central, it was still
very
messy, very sloppy, and, you know, you just got to take it slow.
Yeah, so we're all here, and, Rudy Giuliani was on TV last
night.
Why
is he still talking?
Yeah, I know. I know. Why doesn't
somebody needs
just
to
tell
tie
him
up in his bedroom?
Up.
Well, he had said he provided the president with information that the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine was impeding investigations that could benefit Trump politically.
Yeah, yeah.
Within weeks, she was recalled from her post. He did an interview with the New York Times. Giuliani portrayed himself as directly involved in the effort to smear Marie Yovanovitch. He provided details of Trump's knowledge of that effort, and then he was on reiterating those facts last night on Fox.
I'm sorry.
Is your head about to explode,
yes,
Libby?
This makes no sense. It makes no sense. What's wrong with him? Unless he wants to sink Trump while he's sinking himself. This makes absolutely no sense to take full responsibility and to get rid of her because she was interfering with a political thing.
My favorite part is, did I want her recalled? No, I wanted her fired.
Yeah.
And still unclear in all of this, I bet we get some letters on this, which I sympathize with, is who is paying him? He says he's working for free, right,
yeah,
for the president, just
right,
like Ivanka and Jared. Aren't we lucky? What value we're getting from our dollar and we taxpayers.
And yet he has Ukraine
clients,
right?
Yes.
No question.
Well, they also, you know, that he is different from Ivanka and Jared in that they come from super wealthy families. Rudy does
right,
not come from
right,
a super wealthy family. He also has three ex-wives that he
yes,
you know, has to continue to pay. And he has a very big lifestyle. And there are investigators looking into his associates in the Ukraine. And if people
yep,
find, you know,
I wish they'd work faster.
Where is he getting his money? It's not from Trump.
You know, talk about blowing
Russians.
It.
He's getting it from the oligarchs.
I watch the mafia channels on television.
Oh yeah.
Which one is that? What number is that?
There are a couple of different ones.
Well, I get 140, and then there's a lower one, and there are about three different mafia channels, and they're always recycling all this stuff.
The deep
six. And guess
six,
who shows up with hair? Rudy.
Yeah.
Rudy, you know, and this is a guy who really was a great champion in America when he had the guts to take down the mob. And yet he's blowing it and blowing it big time. No two ways about it.
Yep.
One of the whoever was on last night, it might have been Laura Ingraham, said, you know, there's a lot of talk in the White House. People who won't be named to say, you have to just go away and be quiet now.
Oh, really? And what did he say?
He said, there may be.
I'm doing the right thing. Donald.
No, she said that to Rudy and said people are saying that about
you
in the White House.
Right.
Yeah. He said I'm doing the right thing.
You know, their defense, and it's an offensive defense, is that he's doing nothing wrong. He was the envoy, the selected personage by the president to carry on operations in Ukraine. And Republicans are buying, or at least telling the public they're buying that.
He also, as you listen to the testimony from a few weeks ago, it becomes clear to me, I think, that this was really his brainchild, this
mm-hmm,
Ukraine thing that he
you
talked
mean to
Trump
get rid
into
of her, or
well, no, the whole thing
the whole
thing that
yes,
he talked Trump and said, hey, there's this scheme, we need to investigate it, and I think it was his brainchild, and Trump is sticking with him on it.
Well, the most amazing thing was that he said he wanted her gone because she would interfere in mm-hmm, the investigations for the president. It's not even an attempt to say there was a real reason.
Well, he said last night
corruption.
She was corrupt. He said that last evening.
This is typical Nazi playbook, you know?
Oh, I know.
You accuse your enemies of what you're guilty of. You know, she was not corrupt. She was a lifelong State Department career official, respected by all of her peers.
And who was herself fighting
corruption.
Her simple question has gone unanswered. If he believed, if the president or Rudy believed that there was corruption and the Bidens were involved, there are U.S. agencies and procedures mm-hmm. you go through to investigate. You don't go get her fired.
You don't do a runaround.
And put in, what, Lev and Igor to do the investigating? Yeah. Holy cow. And Republicans are presenting this as perfectly normal.
However, is it impeachable?
My head will explode.
In other words, firing an ambassador? Not impeachable.
No.
Is it impeachable to have just some guy, let's call him Giuliani, go and look into things? Is that impeachable? I don't know.
No, what's impeachable is obstruction of justice and abuse of power.
Correct.
And those are the two articles. They're being very strategic.
I think that will be contested.
And very,
well, of course.
Of course it will be. But those are the two articles. And, you know, the abuse of power, it's clear. Obstructing justice is clear.
Republicans have said he did it. They just don't think
it's
impeachable.
Right.
It's very interesting to listen to these moderate, Democrats who are switching over to, yes, I'm going to vote for impeachment, even though many of my constituents don't want it. And they're saying the Republicans have offered no defense.
Right.
It's also, I think, as we look at corruption charges over history in this state, in New York City, in Albany, quid pro quo is always tough to prove. And there's never that email saying, if you do this,
I will do this. Right.
And I think that simply inviting a foreign power to interfere in our elections, that should have been that should be it. And as soon as you try and prove the quid pro quo, even though everybody knows there was the quid pro quo, but in the legal sense, it's always hard to pin that down.
Even the legal standard is beyond a reasonable doubt. So the president withholds aid approved by Congress, no reason given, then, mm-hmm. now, or ever, just inexplicably holds it. We know, despite what Republicans keep saying, that the Ukrainians were aware of it. Sorry, Ukraine was aware of it. And it was there. Isn't that beyond a reasonable doubt that he was, sorry, I'm getting the
signal. No, it's okay. Finish the thought.
Okay, finish the thought. Isn't that beyond a reasonable doubt that one thing was connected to the do us a favor, though?
All right, we have to take a break here. Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, J.P. Miller, and Alan Shartok. It's the Roundtable Panel. Jen Smith may or may not be here. You can join us at panel@wamc.org, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. Libby is getting down and getting funky here. It is 9:33. I think we're listening to Spyro Gyra here today.
It's called chair dancing.
Very nice.
Yes,
very, and that's good for the knees, too. You don't have to worry about any replaced parts dance in your seat.
Yeah, don't even ask.
It's the Roundtable Panel today. Libby Post is here. Rosemary Armeo is here. J.P. Miller is here. Alan Shartok is here. Jen Smith, if you're listening, drive safely. Take it very slowly. Still not here, but it's a long drive from the Berkshires. And the weather's not all that good, so you know what I mean?
And one which she should not have taken. She should turn around if there's any danger at all.
Well, maybe
we love her.
Maybe she did. We'll find out. Yeah. We have some emails here at panel@wamc.org. This one came in from Molly in Coconut Creek, Florida. Isn't this interesting? Did Vox Pop yesterday, had two or three calls from people in Florida who were just rubbing it in, saying, oh, how's the weather? Oh, we're down here. Now, Molly's in Coconut Creek, and Molly writes, the New York Times today has an op-ed entitled, We Are Republicans, We Want Trump Defeated, written by George T. Conway III, Steve Schmidt, John Weaver, and Rick Wilson. Mm-hmm. They're announcing the formation of the Lincoln Project, an effort to highlight our country's story and values and its people's sacrifices and obligations. The project calls for assistance from disaffected conservatives, Republicans, and Republican-leaning independents in swing states and districts to help ensure a victory in the Electoral College and congressional majorities that do not enable or abet Mr. Trump's violations of the Constitution, even if that means Democratic control of the Senate and an expanded Democratic majority in the House. And that is from Molly in Coconut Creek.
Have you all seen the Saturday Night Live parody of Marriage Story? It's the Conway Marriage Story. Oh, my God. Look it up if you have not.
Really?
Hilarious. And it'll annoy Kellyanne that we're talking about her marriage.
Oh, my gosh. Look who's here.
Wow.
All right. Let's pause for a moment. Hello. How was the ride?
It wasn't. I mean, it is what it is. It's New England in the winter. But
right. Well, we're so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
We will stop the proceedings. You'll need headphones for today's broadcast. It's a radio show.
Oh, you're wet.
All right. Before we get back to business here, you have been away from a from this program for a very long time. Where have you been, and what is going on?
I have been in many places throughout India. So I was there for about 2.5 months.
Yeah.
And got to get to about 5 states and a union out of the 29 and change there, and it was really incredible. Got to go back to the city where I was born that I haven't been to in my adult life.
Nice.
And explore that.
Why
and,
did you go?
I basically won a contest, won an opportunity to travel there through Atlas Obscura.
Oh, I remember that.
Yes.
Now, this was, what, a year ago now you won that contest?
It was actually over the summer.
Yeah.
And it was a public contest, and they had asked folks to submit an itinerary that was meaningful to them. And so over the course of the summer, my application kept advancing. And then it blindsided me on an Idle Tuesday that they chose me as their person, their first journey winner. And I was flabbergasted and felt super grateful. And it really was a journey of a lifetime.
You're a fine writer. When does the book come out?
I am still unpacking that all. When you travel that much and you experience and see so much with all that's going on there
in
now.
India, what a great time to be traveling there. Wow.
Yeah, there's just so much to digest.
And are you happy to be back? Because not much is going on.
Well, it was 80 and 90 degrees over there. and that's heading into their fall season. I was there during the tail end of monsoon season, which was interesting, too. I'm also really happy to be back and to have see things with different perspective.
So Jen, I wondered if you'd be kind enough to tell us what you saw in terms of this growing apprehension about the relationship between the many millions of Muslims who are still in India, believe it or not, and the Hindus. Is it palpable?
Yes. And it varies. There's the political approach to everything, of course. So as soon as people realized that I was an American, one of the first questions you get asked is, you know, what do you think of Trump? And then my reply was, well, what do you think of Modi? And a nation's politics doesn't define a person per se. And so, you know, I've been to plenty of neighborhoods where you'd see a Catholic church, a Muslim temple, or Hindu temple, and a Muslim mosque, within the same block radius. And there were no riots except for, you know, obviously now things have come to a palpable head, and you have the riots and the protests that you're experiencing now in a country of 1.3 plus billion people. That's just going to manifest in very big, very contentious ways. And you have just different gaps and ideologies of classes and caste, as well as generations. I think you have had very conservative conversations, very liberal conversations, Indians are very fond of social media, and you can see that all play out there from people that say hashtag I stand with Delhi police to hashtag I stand with Delhi students. So it is very tangible, but you can't forget the nation's history. You can't forget the influence. You know, everyone flocks to the Taj Mahal. It's a Muslim structure. It has Islamic script in it. And that is India. That is part of India for sure. And there are just so many languages and dialects and belief systems. And, you know, you think about their times, you know, pre-partition, and what the freedom fighters there were looking for and seeking for, even in the design of the flag, that they were trying to acknowledge that there were always Hindu influences, there were always Muslim influences there.
But I've been to both India and Pakistan now, and you know, those rifts are still you know, constant.
Did you ever have a sense of personal fear while you were over there?
No. I think my more nervous moments were going into the jungle and the forest and realizing that there are things like forest leeches that climb all over you. But no, I think the Indian culture is so passionate. I had so many passionate, heated debates and discussions, but at the end of the day, you sit down, you have chai, and you know, you take a pause and then you resume. There is definitely a much more political presence, though, out in the street. You know, we have today in Pittsfield, for example, if they brave the weather, which I'm sure they will, you know, you'll have folks who are rallying for
impeachment.
Mm-hmm. But there you see gatherings like that almost every day. For one reason or another, whether it's local politics or national politics, very politically active country.
How was the food?
Amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't it?
It's heartbreaking how amazing it is and how much I miss it, and how much I am just craving the time to cook and go back to that.
Why don't you? Now you've learned a few things. Come on Food Friday with me someday.
Yes,
and you make,
I will.
Make a couple things. We'll have some food. Yeah?
I think that sounds like an excellent plan.
Well, Jen Smith made it. It's nice to have her back. Rosemary Armeo is here. J.P. Miller, Libby Post, Alan Shartok. It's the Roundtable Panel. You can email us at panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org. More of your letters. More news topics coming up.
Support for WMC comes from the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. skidmore.edu/tang. Saratoga Hospital, working to bring doctors closer together to collaborate and closer to the hospital to improve patient care. itrustsaratogahospital.org for information. New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And the Blue Marble, a world of gifts in Thorne's Marketplace, Northampton, offering handmade, fair trade, and American-crafted gift options, and now women's and unisex clothing up to 2X, thebluemarble.biz.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, 944 on a somewhat snowy Tuesday morning. It's the Roundtable Panel today with Jen Smith, Libby Post, J.P. Miller, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok, and you. We have emails here. This one came in from Mike in Glens Falls. We know that in John Kennedy's book, Profiles in Courage, the focus was on senators who made difficult political decisions that cost them their office or a chance to hire office. There are now six freshman Democrats who won in heavily Trump districts who say they will vote for impeachment and that that vote may cost them their seats. Among them is Anthony Brindisi of Utica, who beat out Trump supporter Claudia Tenney. Trump won the district big time. Sadly, no Republicans have summoned up that kind of courage. And that's from Mike in Glens Falls. This one is from Scott in New Lisbon. Just jump in if you have anything to say. This one is from Scott in New Lisbon. Please try to consider the prospective conservative Democrats, We've been supporting minority, liberal issues, et cetera, forever. A little tolerance will keep us together. And that's from Scott in New Lisbon.
Are we going to get any, do you think, Democrats voting against impeachment or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
We already two have announced. Yes. One's going to leave the whole party.
Right. Well, the one that's leaving the party, I don't count them.
The guy from Minnesota announced yesterday that he was going to vote against impeachment.
There's always been one or two who've been, you know, skittish.
The time is counting 197 votes, I think, for impeachment.
And how did they come to that number?
They're individually asking each one of them.
And they're all saying definitely yes.
No,
definitely
there's
no.
A large number, like just under 170 maybe, who would not respond it. But they tell you that too.
This one is from Larry in the Berkshires. During a Senate trial, could the Democratic prosecutor petition Chief Justice Roberts to issue subpoenas to call witnesses? And if he agrees to do so, would his ruling be final panel as he sits as the highest constitutional authority? Inquiring minds want to know. That's from Larry in the Berkshires. Alan.
Well, Larry in the Berkshires is playing what they used to call on the Johnny Carson show, stump the band. I mean, I don't know.
It's unclear.
I suppose it would be in his purview to be able to do that. One would think that Roberts is going to be walking a real razor blade here and would probably not be going out doing things that you might want from an uber-liberal judge. I suspect it's possible. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I think it wouldn't be surprising, too, if whatever ruling was made wasn't challenged in the current the climate of the way things are
How
going
do you challenge
to.
A Supreme Court justice? Where do you go?
I feel like if anything, this administration would probably find a way. But I think you're right. There is fact, but I think there's not a lot of indication of, you know, will it get to that decision?
McConnell's not going to. He's going to arrange it so that the Chief Justice is not doing anything more than presiding, I suspect.
But you think that, you know, who is in charge of the proceedings and how it's conducted? Is it McConnell or is it Roberts?
It's Roberts. But McConnell sets the rules. So the presiding judge makes sure the rules are followed.
Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what Chuck Schumer has sort of come under fire because he sent that letter to McConnell, sort of trying to negotiate those rules, if you will.
Exactly.
And so all Roberts is doing is taking the rules that Mitch McConnell spells out himself and saying, no, Mitch doesn't agree with this. We're doing this.
Basically, I believe that's what we've seen so far, yes. Huh. And many Republican senators are saying they want Schumer and McConnell to sit down and work it out. That's the way it's set up, that the two sides sit down and work out the rules. But Schumer has no power to go on here. Maybe a little bit, because they could use a few Democratic senators like the...
Well, he's got a little bit
Democrat in West Virginia to turn over to impeachment, but I don't foresee that happening.
Alan.
Well, I think what Schumer's doing here clearly is moral suasion. I mean, this is an opportunity to say that to the American people that this trial is fixed. And if enough people think it's fixed, it can make a huge difference in the way in which this is this presidential election is going and the way people perceive it. So I think Schumer did the right thing. I've not been a big fan of the way Schumer has been fighting this president, but I think in this case he sure did the right thing.
This one is from David in Cummington. Am I incorrect in understanding that it is not an issue of the president's behavior being criminal, but that it was an abuse of power, and that by taking the oath of office at inauguration, he is under the oath to uphold the Constitution and act in the best interest of the country, not his personal interest? Therefore, he has been lying consistently under oath. Clinton lied, too, for a much less serious act, which got him impeached, and subsequently has been acting in ways to obstruct the inquiry into his behavior, therefore the obstruction article. If I am correct, then this needs to be stated over and over so the public can not be misled by the language being used by the GOP to obfuscate the issues, and that's from David in Cummington.
Give David an A in civics.
Yeah, that was perfect.
This one is from Andre. Where can we turn for truth and credibility? The Inspector General's report on the FBI's handling of matters concerning FISA court applications really is frightening. On top of that, James Comey's regard for truth, as exhibited to Chris Wallace over the weekend. This guy offers obtuse reasons for his legitimacy. The country is in a period of profound confusion. So sad. And that's from Andre. Anybody?
Agree. Good point.
Agree.
I mean, he makes... He makes some very good points there. The Comey thing is really something that, I mean, Comey is, in my way of thinking, really not a good character. His actions before the election probably led to the election of Trump over Hillary Clinton. He didn't play it fair. He didn't talk about what Trump was doing in the same way at the same time. It was, people who were feeling sorry for Comey, forget about it.
So do we now think that he deserved to be fired by the president or no?
I said yesterday that if he had truly been fired for mishandling the investigation into Hillary Clinton, I would be perfectly fine with it because he did. And he, to me, is a sympathetic character because he actually is quite talented. He's very popular and was a very good administrator of the FBI. But he has this fatal flaw like a Greek hero, and it's his conceit. It's his he's filled with himself. And so he felt that he had to pronounce a judgment on Hillary Clinton rather than just, no, we're not going to indict
him. He also likes the press. He likes press attention.
He loves being a hero.
Which is not good for an FBI director.
Conceit.
But it is good for an author. And he has a book out. So this helps. This one is from Thomas. And it should be known that clearly Thomas is an attorney, so this probably qualifies as a billable hour. Here's what he says. Please, please, please stop applying the standard of proof required for criminal conviction to the proof necessary for impeachment and conviction of a president. Proof beyond a reasonable doubt is the standard necessary for a criminal conviction. It is not the standard required in impeachment. As you are no doubt aware, impeachment is a political proceeding, not a criminal proceeding slash prosecution. Thomas.
Said that, and I made very clear saying this is a political process, but even if you go by the legal standard, get that? Even if you go by the legal standard, I still think they have it.
So
beyond a reasonable doubt. Thank you.
Alan.
No, I agree. I was going to say exactly the same thing that Rosemary just said. Of course I was. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Good. This one's from John in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Oh, well,
there's a great place.
Absolutely.
But it's warm.
Panel, you say firing an ambassador is not an impeachable offense. True. But the Constitution says POTUS shall appoint ambassadors to all foreign nations. Why not point this out among many other offenses? There are at least 30 embassies that have been vacant since January of 2017. Not even appointments made for congressional approval. This is a presidential responsibility. It is clear the purpose is to cut out the middleman, yes?
Had Obama challenged Merrick Garland and went to the Supreme Court and said, I did my job, Senate's not doing theirs. There might be settled law on that very point, and you could go after Trump for not appointing ambassadors. But why should he?
Mm-hmm. By the way, you really can't. I mean, you have a history of people who haven't been appointed in vacant offices. You start with that, and you really, as an impeachable offense, you really have some very big difficulties.
And I think
What are you thinking of, Alan, when you say that? A history.
I'm thinking of all the people, all the vacant offices that have not been filled. Now, if you think I've got a piece of paper in front of me with 162 names on it.
No. I don't mean that. Yeah. It's that, sure, there are always vacancies. It's hard in a bureaucracy as vast as the U.S. federal government to fill everything. But there's never been, that I'm aware of, and maybe you know something different, before Trump, an effort to leave vast numbers of jobs empty on purpose, especially in the State Department.
I don't think it's impeachable.
Well, I'm just happy that somebody from Santa Fe, New Mexico, wrote us. So thank you for that one, John. This one is from Joel, closer to home in Blooming Grove, New York. Libby is wrong. The second article of impeachment is obstruction of Congress, not obstruction of justice. Big difference.
That's true, and it is. And they were thinking about obstruction of justice.
When
They did obstruction of Congress specifically.
Libby, you can't be human.
No, I know, I know. You know, you have no idea how true that statement is.
And you have no idea how many people are listening with their ear on the radio saying, gotcha!
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, I'm just happy that Libby drove in the muck and that Jen drove in the
muck.
And
the mire.
To be here today and JP and Rosemary. So, you know, let's be charitable here this morning. This one is from Phil. Phil says, I wish Bernie would explain to the public that his views are not that revolutionary. Our single-payer highway road system seems to work pretty well here. Free tuition in the form of the GI Bill proved beneficial in the past. Bank bailouts saved the economy. So maybe student debt could be viewed as too big to fail. I'm a Bernie supporter. I just think he needs to work on his message. And that's from Phil.
Copy that letter to his campaign.
Not one person willing to comment on that?
Well, I'm always willing, as you know. The question is whether being more to the left would help him as opposed to where he is now. It is interesting that he has eclipsed Elizabeth Warren, who was coming up fast and who in some of the polls was beating Bernie, but not anymore.
At this time, though. right?
Yes,
they fluctuate.
That's a lot of time.
What do the polls say? Biden's still in front?
Still in front, but I saw on ABC this week with George Stephanopoulos, which I watch religiously, Nate Silver of the 538 blog made a big case for how Bernie is going to do better than he's polling in that he is super well organized in Iowa. And if he places first in Iowa, you can see him taking more and more support from Warren and the others. And he made a case that he could sweep Iowa and New Hampshire. So when, you know, I feel like Bernie has kind of lost a lot of his momentum, at least in the media, and people aren't talking about him as
due to the heart attack, or
just because people write him off a little bit, I think, not as serious a candidate as the others. When if you look at the polling and you look at his support and you look how well organized he is in Iowa, that he should be thought of as one of the top two or three people. And so, hearing Nate Silver make that case on ABC this week, I was impressed that maybe Bernie should be given another look.
Well, he is coming up fast. He's eclipsed Warren. Do any of you think that there's a point, particularly Jen, who is a Massachusetts observer, think there's a point at which Warren turns around and says, yeah, well, you know, progressivism has to win here. So let me just urge all my supporters to go over to Bernie, or vice versa. It won't happen, right?
It absolutely won't happen. I think that is the challenge among folks who are on that side of the left, is sort of proving your difference in platforms and coming out first, sort of, I guess, breaking news style with a bigger, better plan if you're playing that game.
But if you take the two of them, right, Jen? If you take the two of them and add their numbers up, it's an awful lot of people. Mm. It puts that candidate way ahead. Of course, you could say the same thing for all the so-called moderates and others, too.
Sure.
By the way, we had one email here that I want to respond to, and then we will jump over to news and then come back. This one came in from Kathy and said, yesterday you attempted to give an update on Joe Donahue's condition, but there were so many interruptions and background noises that I missed too much of it. Help me out, please. How's Joe? Where is he now? Joe is home, recuperating from major surgery on both knees. Joe is feeling better. He's quite hilarious. We've been texting back and forth, and he's going to start PT, I think, today, although the snow may slow that down a little bit. As soon as his physical therapy allows, he will be back here in the big chair in Studio A. So worry not. Joe is on the mend, and I hope you heard that, Kathy, loud and clear. We'll take a break. This is the Roundtable Panel. Jen Smith, Libby Post, J.P. Miller, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Chartok. And Joe is probably listening, but for now, it's Ray. Panel at WAMC.org is the email address. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's 10:05 on a Tuesday morning. If you are driving today, do take extra caution. Roads are a little slippery, according to our traffic spotter, Libby Post, and also Jen Smith. It's the Roundtable Panel. Jen Smith is here. Libby is here. J.P. Miller, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok is here as well. By the way, we heard again from our correspondent in Santa Fe, New Mexico, John. And John writes, I just wanted to tell Rosemary, it's 10 degrees in Santa Fe this morning.
Oh, wow.
But it's a dry cold.
Oh, thanks so much.
Funny.
Very good. Thank you, John.
It's also early in Santa Fe, isn't it?
Right, you are. There's a time difference.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like 2 or 3.
That's right. This one is from Saul in North Bennington, Vermont. Did you see the article in Politico that suggested that the House pass their article of impeachment and a second article that they will not advance the article to the Senate unless the Senate fails to pass a censure of the president? Interesting strategy. I got to tell you, Saul, we have been talking about this, and everybody's been writing about it.
Yeah, we had like 5 letters yesterday.
This is all on John Dean, right? Is he the one who came up
with
this?
John Dean is the one who first publicized it. I don't know if he came up with it. Mm. I haven't heard Nancy talk on it. That's what really counts.
You got to wait for that.
Yeah.
Alan, you want to comment on that?
Well, there's not much to say. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that Democrats are very frustrated. People who are for the impeachment, and that's about half the country, are very frustrated by the fact that Trump is going to be, quote, acquitted or let off the hook or whatever you want to call it. So they're desperately searching for some way to get around what looks like it's inevitable. And I think it is inevitable.
You know, we have the TV on here in Studio A, and it's usually on CNN. And a little while ago, they had the numbers, the poll numbers of people who were in favor of impeachment and removal. They're down a little bit.
They are a little bit,
across
but
the
not
board.
A lot.
Yeah, even among Democrats.
Basically, they stayed the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they stayed the same, and they're very high. And I keep going back to the Clinton administration. Never got more than 30% in favor of impeachment. So I don't know what you make of that.
Well,
Republicans are making out that, oh, it's going down. It's not moving.
I think what you can
Democrats are not making a big deal about how high it is.
What you could, you might be able to infer is that after all the publicity and the hearings and all of the testimony we heard in the last 2 weeks, you would expect if there was a movement of the needle, it would go the other direction, and it's in fact going down.
Well, it went all the way up to half. Yeah. I mean, you know, remember in the beginning, it was infinitesimal numbers, and then it went up basically to half the country. When half the country is for not only impeachment, but removal from office, that's huge.
Yeah.
This one is from Bruce, subject heading Roberts. He's not walking the razor's edge. He's Chief Justice for Life, and that is from Bruce.
good point. All those federal judges.
I wonder if he's sleeping at night. I mean, you know, when I say walking the razor's edge, he's got to be very careful here. Obviously, he's got to maintain some kind of order at the Supreme Court. Now that you have conservatives, and he may be. He's being counted on by many people as the guy who will stop some of the more egregious behavior on the court. So when I say walking the sharp side of the needle, mm-hmm. not only in terms of appearing to be fair here, but also remembering he's got a home he's got to operate out of.
Yeah, does he want this to be known as the Trump Court or the Roberts Court?
This one is from Dan in Albany. Love your show, but... That's always a tough one. Love your show, but Alan said there are still Muslims in India, as if this was a surprise to him. India was founded explicitly as a multicultural secular country. The Indian independence movement was multicultural. Leaders of the Congress Party were Hindus, Muslims, and Sikhs. There are 200 million Muslims in India. India is not a Hindu country. The danger of Modi, the BJP, and their RSS forebearers is precisely that they are attempting to change this. And that's from Dan.
And I think that's the latter part to really focus on. And I think what's happening right now with the protest in Delhi will, you know, really could be a game changer in Modi's campaign.
This one is from Glenn. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to just defend myself,
splendid.
If I may.
Splendid.
As Ann Ruth was, if I may, in that voice.
Sure.
You know, I'm not naive about this, but there was a little separation between Pakistan and India. We know Gandhi was for keeping one country with multi-religions and nationalities and the rest of it. It didn't happen that way, and you would have to be extraordinarily, and I want to emphasize that with an explanation point or two, extraordinarily naive not to know that.
Hearing nothing. We'll go to Glenn in New Paltz. How many more times are you going to imply that the American people need your help in understanding what's going on in terms of the impeachment? We can read. We can make judgments.
You can, but you don't.
Then, okay. This is why we're here. It's to talk about the issues.
Glenn's subject heading was arrogance. So
I went to a restaurant last night, and it's a very great restaurant, very friendly, and so the wait staff talks to you. And the woman began telling me about why she doesn't really like Trump, but she would never have voted for Hillary. Of course, that piqued my interest.
What
she
restaurant?
Said, hey, Grandma's on Central Avenue. Oh, great restaurant.
You go to the best places.
I do. So she said Hillary was a pig, her word. And I go, so you voted for the guy who would grab women by the private parts? She goes, well, did he say that? Did he actually say that? Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, there is a need, letter writer, for more education.
I mean, as a side note, is it really good professional form if you're a server to bring
my
up
mother,
politics?
My mother said that. I don't think she should. But I invited it and I welcomed it. I mean, love discussions.
Alan was
politics.
at an unnamed, having a little work done. And his helper started bringing up
with
politics.
The hands in the mouth. Yes.
Well, I'm not going to say where
he did.
That it was a dental thing.
Yes,
I said it was a dental thing, but I never said it was the dental hygienist.
But now
I
you just did.
I never did.
We figured it out, though, Alan.
Well, you think you figured it out, but you didn't.
But anyway,
that's the way to silence Alan is when if he's at the dentist, he can't talk back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also he'll anesthetize.
Well, I did talk back. I said exactly this.
Nice. This one is from Chris. It's nice to hear some acknowledgement of Bernie's strength. It seems to me that he inspires more passion than any other candidate. Yeah. Anybody agree?
No.
No, I think that's right. The Bernieites were fiercely in favor of him. And had he run the last time, who knows what would have happened.
Somebody no, it is me. Not true. Trump inspires emotion much more than Bernie and got elected.
Oh,
that's not a
so.
Good thing. However, if he gets the nomination, I will vote for Bernie.
Libby, you seem to be a little skeptical of that contention.
I think, you know, yes, his people are very boisterous and committed. Warren's people are very boisterous and committed. Everybody's.
I was going to say,
know,
if you have a horse in the game,
yeah, you know, Buttigieg's people are boisterous and committed. I mean, you know,
no, I don't think that's true.
We have to wait. I mean, I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. People ask me, "Who are you supporting?" I'm not supporting. I'm supporting whoever the Democratic nominee
me
is.
Too.
Because the bottom line is getting Trump out of office, and we cannot stand on ceremony. We cannot say, "Well, he's not good enough," or "She's not good enough,"
right,
on XYZ. Fringe issue, I don't care. The democracy is in peril, and we need to repair it. And the only way to repair it is to get him out of office. Period. End of story.
I want to go back to, if I may, I want to go back to Bernie. You know, I get maybe 500, sometimes 1,000 emails a day.
Yeah.
And the Sanders people are quite vigorous. I have, in terms of... Some say they'll never vote for, you know, a billionaire, a Bloomberg. That, you don't get that from the others. In other words,
no.
I have been getting the letters I've been getting have been, you know, the passion on the Bernie side is greater than anything I get from any of the others. Now, I think to some degree that can be explained by the fact that the left in this country, as well as others, are for Bernie, and they are very, very, very strong in terms of their need to have their candidate representing them.
Alan, that's a lot of what Nate Silver was saying this weekend, and I think the Republican playbook is a little bit misplaced in that they're hoping. I think the Republicans at least say that they're hoping that they either get to run against Warren or Sanders, and they're more scared of Biden, whereas if I were Donald Trump, I would much rather run against Joe Biden than Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. I think they're definitely the greater threat to him being defeated than Biden.
Well, I think you have said it exactly right. They're afraid of Biden. We know they're afraid of Biden because this whole thing, the whole adventure here has been anti-Biden, and that indicates where they are. It's that simple.
This one is from Seth in Pittsfield. I'm a Bernie fan. The reason he may not be explaining that his ideas are not so radical. Hang on. The reason he may not be explaining that his ideas are not so radical, is that his base enjoys his angriness and grumpiness. He's feeding his radical base. All right, I butchered it. This one is from John in Deerfield. So it's a quieter morning for news. Maybe it's a good time to begin pondering and discussing, as you do so much, what it's like to be parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles of progeny that will be inheriting an unsustainable economy and collapsing natural environment. This country needs to consider and discuss, whenever possible, the likely potential for irreversible climate change. Have you viewed Greta Thunberg's recent speeches? And that's from John in Deerfield.
Wow, and I get called the master of gloom and doom. John!
Maybe
John's right. Of course he's right. I mean, there's no two ways that he's right. You know, this, we already see irreversible things happening to our, you know, in our Arctic areas and others, and the water rise coming up over, you know, Manhattan side. There's no question about it. What surprises me is how few people really care about it.
I don't think that's true. I think plenty of people do care about it, but I think it's challenging to find a solution with a lot of money and support behind it that you do have to go through all these channels of bureaucracy and debate and denial to get things done.
I think that Trump has played another smart card in that this is not an issue that's hurting him. He can call it a hoax and it doesn't hurt him for one reason, because all of the effects are not in the North. Mm-hmm. They're not not in the center of the country. They're not where his support comes from.
All right, this is from Christine, Democratic nominees, the subject heading. Bernie may be the guy in Iowa, but who's the candidate who can win counties in the states that handed the crook in the White House the Electoral College? And why are all the women falling behind? Misogyny is alive and well. As the Keb Moe ballad says, we should put a woman in charge. Please play it. Lastly, over 600 impeach rallies planned in the country today. Somebody else wrote about that.
Thanks for quoting Keb Moe.
Yeah? Yeah, it's all right.
Who's right?
All right, and somebody else mentioned that there are many protests planned today.
Yeah, I'm wondering how the weather will affect it. I'm going to one in Colony.
On Wolf Road.
Wolf Road and Colony.
Right, and it's on, because I just got an email about
Park
it.
Park at
on.
The center.
Dodge the snowplows and enjoy. This one is from KC, impeachment trial conflict of interest. The biggest mind boggler for me in all of this, writes KC, is the blatant conflict of interest with regard to the impeachment trial. How is it in any way acceptable for the same Republican senators that will become jurors in his trial to be strategizing with Trump and his administration minions? Trump has actually said that his trial will proceed however he wants it to go. Since when does the impeached / defendant get to dictate how things will go? I think David Soares made that point on Friday.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, Mitch McConnell is on the CNN right now.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah. Right now, making the point that the Democrats still have time not to impeach him.
Oh, please.
You ever see the bad lip sync on YouTube where they take political figures and they lip sync?
Yes, sure. Mm-hmm.
So we could do this right now with Mitch McConnell if we wanted to.
It's a new interactive feature on the roundtable.
Right. Right. You'd have to be watching along with us. This is from Zach in Saratoga. As you stated moments ago, the media seems to write off Bernie. In particular, MSNBC and PBS have been shown to spend less time discussing Sanders, and when they do mention him, it is more in a negative light. What do you think are the motivations behind this slanted coverage? And that's
from Zach. I think there's bigger issues, across the board in how media covers politics in terms of equity. And I'm sure if you did an audit today, you would find all sorts of disparities about what topics are covered,
exactly.
Who's covered. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but what constituents are covered too. Looking at who's voting, a lot of times you hear about just black and white votes, but we know there are so many other constituents. Just look at the lines of people who are going to get their licenses the other day, who are among the immigrant community.
And fascinating story. Yes. Yeah. Well, I'd like to see more coverage of Bernie's health, for example. Mm-hmm. Hillary's health, which was a pneumonia and didn't require coverage, got lots of attention. We have given nothing to Bernie, who had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that's been covered
pretty well.
Well,
how did you know that? You knew exactly. Well, you knew it, right?
I knew he had a heart attack several days after it. It was like an incident. It's been downplayed since. Come on. He's a man in his 70s who has had a heart attack, and he's going for the highest stress level job in the world. Mm-hmm. That's not notable.
You make a point.
This one is from Alan, a different Alan. And the subject heading is Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. I don't understand why the mainstream media and this panel don't understand why Elizabeth Warren has fallen in the polls. Once Warren came out and said she would start with a public option and wouldn't fight for Medicare for All until year 3 of her presidency, her support quickly dwindled. By the polls, it seems some of those people want true progressives like Bernie Sanders. Don't anybody?
Yeah, well, that's right.
Okay.
I mean, some of the people want Bernie Sanders. And the further left you travel, the more the solidification around Sanders. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not calling anybody any names. That's the constituency.
I would also say you can't count out Elizabeth Warren just because she's having a little bit of a lull in the polls right now. She is an excellent candidate.
Right.
She's
mm-hmm.
raising tons of money. She is in the top group there, and she has just as good a chance as anybody else to win the nomination, in my opinion.
As good as Biden, you think?
Sure. I think Biden has the least likely of anybody to win the nomination.
Do tell.
Well, you have to go to the early states. How is he doing in the early states? The people that watch him the closest look at him, and they see a guy that might not be up to the challenge of taking on Donald Trump. And while Bernie is about his same age, Bernie just appears and sounds a lot more vibrant than Joe Biden.
Well, South Carolina, you know, you remind me a little bit of Brer Rabbit.
I don't get the reference.
You have some, you know, Republican leanings. Which is
Brer Rabbit's Republican?
Yes.
Yes. Actually, yes. He worked with William F. Buckley for a long time, as a matter of fact.
Please don't throw me in the briar patch. You are.
Stretch.
Yes. Excellent.
Please don't throw me in the briar patch. We already know it's been stated unequivocally on this very show that the Republicans want Bernie or Warren
because if I were them, I would want Biden.
If you were them, you would want Biden.
Yes.
Interestingly, you are not them.
He makes a point. This is from Christopher. Subject heading impeach. In terms of quid pro quo, we're exhausted. If he did it, then he's a criminal. Then he's a criminal. Every president in the last 60 years could have been indicted on a plethora of high crimes, war crimes, and or misdemeanors. We want our taxes to be good, put to good use. This is in the eye of court of public opinion. It is not a good use of taxpayer money.
Could you interpret that for me one more time? Maybe I was not listening correctly.
Let the voters decide, basically.
This has gone on too long, is what Christopher is implying here. This is from Marion Voorheesville. How would it affect the vote in the Senate if Republican senators who, for political reasons, didn't want to vote for impeachment, but who really wanted to get rid of him, voted to abstain?
Sure. If they vote to abstain, he'll take it exactly the same way as that they voted to impeach. To convict.
I don't think that would look good for them either at this point to invest all this time
is interesting to me that Pence can't vote. It's considered a conflict of interest because he'd be voting on getting rid of a guy that would then give him the presidency. So Mitch McConnell has one less vote there. So somebody has thought out these rules, but I don't know about how, and I think an abstention does not count as a pro vote. So if you abstained and you ended up with a tie, for example, it would be the same as voting for impeachment.
It is the round table. Go ahead.
It's one of those desperate letters. We know he's going to be acquitted, and we have to come up with yet another, you know, thing for Schlugana, way of getting out of this.
It is the round table panel. Alan Chartok there, Rosemary Armeo, J.P. Miller, Libby Post, and Jen Smith. We touched on this a few moments ago. New York State began issuing driver's licenses that don't require applicants to prove they're in the country illegally yesterday. At least one county clerk in upstate New York in Rensselaer County opposed the law and said he was turning away applicants. Immigration advocates have said they're ready to go to court to defend this law. New York is now the 13th state to authorize licenses for drivers without legal immigration status. We have about 5 minutes here if anybody wants to.
New Jersey pass it just yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, the numbers, it's headed towards 15 is what I read.
And it just makes sense for a lot of reasons. You know, just if you're asking people to go through the proper channels, having that kind of identification, having the ability to get from here to there, to your appointments and things like that is really important. And it legitimizes the process more. It creates, gives you a better understanding of your population when you recognize that.
If you get hit by a car that's driven by someone without a license, you have a whole lot more trouble getting compensated for it. It just makes self-interest. And I think Sarah yesterday said it best, that there's a lot of opposition to this because people are wrongly conflating a driver's license with the right to vote.
Right.
And one has nothing to do with the other. You
Absolutely.
Must be a U.S. citizen
and
to
And you
vote.
Still have to, it's an application process.
Right.
You still, it's
Correct.
Not like they're just Correct. Handing out cards at the RMVs the other day.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, if people had to go in line, take a test,
right?
Apply, go through
yeah,
all
they
the,
have to get
the,
a learner's
the paperwork,
permit, they gotta go through the whole
fees,
thing.
Safety and security,
right?
It's,
yeah.
it's all
and
to our
insurance.
Benefit.
Insurance, right?
I mean,
you also don't need a driver's license to vote. You can just go in and vote
Correct.
Without a license, driver's license.
At least in New
Correct.
York,
yeah.
There are some states that are now requiring photo ID.
But the laws is, in New York.
Yeah. Yeah,
and what is it with Rensselaer? Why is that guy? That state, that county is always in the vanguard of thwarting liberal laws. Libby, what? Explain this to me.
They just don't want to do
the right thing.
The right thing. We've got a county executive there that, you know, is far right. His people are pretty much far right, and this is what they're doing, and it makes for headlines.
But the question was, why are his people so far right in the middle of all of this? I mean, you know, there are an awful lot of people who voted for Donald Trump who are six-packers, you know, and
Rensselaer County is the last bastion, along with parts of Saratoga, of Republican stronghold. I mean, it really is.
I mean, this commissioner, the DMV commissioner there, went to court to try to
stop
this. It's
the county clerk.
You're right. I'm sorry.
And the judge said no.
And so now this is a second.
Right. And now he's saying, well, he wanted there to be a stay, but now he's saying his folks didn't get trained. I mean, his folks have been doing licensing for a very long time.
It is a different process, though. Worse than that, he's saying, I'm not doing it.
Right.
Even now if a judge tells me to.
Right. Now he's saying it's not going to
be. In nearby Schenectady County, they immediately began issuing them. They had no problem.
And Albany County had no problem.
There are not the lines here that Jen mentioned you're seeing in downstate, where there's probably many more people in need of these licenses.
Yeah, well, it's just by population.
Sure.
And that's the thing. If you look, you're doing your schools and citizenry justice. If you look at some of the populations in the schools there, you have vast amounts of immigrants in the points where it's almost majority of some of your classrooms. And it's, you know, again, to these families to support them to be able to get through and, you know, to they're contributing to the economy by living here. You know, this is just one step. And if you know, shame on you if you don't do your job. But we've encountered this before with people turning down marriage license because of orientation and religious beliefs.
But to me, it's all about chaos, right?
I mean, you don't
want people on the roads who haven't got a license.
Exactly.
Because they're going to go crashing into other people. And this is one way of getting some safety involved in this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
The other part of this is it just adds to the chaos, but it also adds to the fatigue that people are having and that they just don't want to focus on this stuff anymore because it's over and over and over again. It's like we're in the movie Groundhog Day. It's what it feels like.
It's the Roundtable Panel on WAMC, and we have more to come. Jen Smith is here from the Berkshire Eagle. Libby Post, a political consultant and lobbyist. The Empire Report's J.P. Miller. What's at the top of the Empire Report today?
The long lines at the DMVs for the licenses.
You know, it's funny. It seems counterintuitive. I think New York City might be the last place you want to get a driver's license.
Right.
But there it is.
Or wait a couple days. Wait till the line dies down.
You make
but
a
people
point.
Wanted to be. I think a lot of people wanted to be there on the first day.
Investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo is here, WAMC's Alan Chartok. And you, of course, can join us by emailing us at panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org is the email address. Keep the letters brief. We will get to more letters, more topics, more fun stuff coming up, if you call it fun, next. Welcome back to the Roundtable. It's Tuesday morning. 10:33 is the time. Roundtable panel in session. Jen Smith is here, back from overseas. Political consultant Libby Post is here. Empire Report's J.P. Miller. Rosemary Armeo is here, who's now... You're still an investigative journalist, right? Once an investigative journalist, always.
Yeah, but I do get letters from people asking me to look into this or that, and I'm referring them on.
You're retired now.
I am basically retired.
That's tremendous. How does that feel?
Good.
Yeah, I bet it does.
The people being investigated love it.
I'm going crazy looking for things to do. I have to replace journalism.
Well, let's make the panel 9 hours a day. Why not?
You almost are.
Alan Chartok is here as well. Hello, Alan.
Hello. Yes, I think that's a very good idea. Let's make it 9 hours
a
day. Okay, I can tell you one thing, which is sort of inside baseball, but I'll tell you anyway.
All right.
Our numbers, our clear numbers for the extra half hour
from
10:30.
We shouldn't do ratings distortion and talk about things like that specifically.
Okay, so I'm not allowed to talk about it?
I wouldn't.
Okay, then I'm not.
All right, let's
talk about McConnell.
Let's just say it's a happy day.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. Thank you very much. And we're watching on, now we don't have wire copy on this yet, but we're only watching the crawl on CNN. I don't know if you heard this, Alan, but Mitch McConnell was speaking and apparently they're not going to call witnesses. At least that's what he said.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, I'm not sure. I have no corroboration of this. We're only looking at the crawl on CNN.
Well, the only thing I saw, and I mentioned it before because I was watching it on CNN at the same time you guys were, of course, was that he was saying, that they still had an opportunity not to have an impeachment. The House could vote against it.
You heard it this morning from Joni Ernst, the Republican senator, who said, I think they did a sloppy job in the House. And now McConnell, at least according to the little information we have, is saying it's not our job to get to guilty. We're not going to clean up their lack of investigation in the House. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a ploy to delay, to get the House to not vote for impeachment until it goes longer.
Yeah, you're right. They don't want an impeachment. It's that simple. And they've been fighting among the Republicans. We hear all kinds of reports about whether to have witnesses or not have witnesses, whether to have a long trial, to have a nothing trial. And I'm sure that the Republicans have decided the best thing to do is get it over as fast as possible, and that's the end of it. And I believe, since McConnell says he's doing whatever the White House wants, that's what the White House wants. They want, you come in, you bang the gavel, and you get out.
This email came in from Susan. You bet Bernie inspires passion. I have a very intelligent, educated friend in San Francisco, a refugee from Croatia, and her Facebook is full of communication about everything to do with Bernie and the campaign. Such devotion. Her hundreds of Facebook friends truly believe he'd bring a revolution. I'm hoping for a fairly peaceful evolution of Obamacare and of progressiveness. And that is from Susan. Hearing nothing, this one's from Martin, subject heading Bernie. As long as Bernie Sanders is rubbing shoulders with uncouth, hate-mongering anti-Semites like Linda Sarsour, he will never get my vote. Bernie is as dangerous as he is refreshing. On the one hand, he certainly reframes issues of social and budgetary issues. He brings the notion of fairness and opportunity into the discussion. On the other hand, he too easily takes the by-any-means-necessary approach, and that includes excusing bad actors behaving badly. He is as anti-Israel as David Duke. Personally, as a Jewish person, I view him as a traitor, and that is from Martin.
Martin.
Well, implicit in that is something that I find a little bit disturbing as an American Jew myself. The idea that you're a traitor if you have an independent view. So let's say you oppose moving the embassy, or you say something bad about Netanyahu and the West Bank. Does that make you a traitor? And that makes an awful lot of American Jewish people traitors.
All right, this is from Michael, subject heading arrogance. The email that you all scoffed at a few minutes ago about arrogance was probably referring to the comment that Alan made earlier that the impeachment process has to be kept very simple so that the American people can understand. I think Rosemary said that, and many people have said.
And I stand by it. Make America great. If the Democrats could reduce their very detailed plans to something you write on a baseball hat, we'd be in the White House.
Michael goes on, many Americans believe that they really don't need academic elitists to explain or make simple issues that we disagree on. Just because some on the right disagree with your political opinions doesn't necessarily mean that they are not as smart as members on your panel. And that's from Michael.
But they probably aren't.
Oh, you know what? really?
Really? I didn't hear it.
We're not going to repeat it.
Well, you know, my mom used to be able to speak under her hand. She put her hand over her mouth.
Yeah, I just
something.
Did that.
Yeah, sure did.
Very impressive. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I told you a long time ago I'm not apologizing for being an elitist, an educated elitist anymore. America needs more of it, less anti-intellectualism.
But the writer's point, saying that some people on the right
might know more than many people. Yeah, some just disagree, and that's fine, and they can reason. And I talk to people, our listeners, all the time. I have long exchanges of letters with them on matters that we disagree with. That's not what we're talking about. It's not what Alan meant. There are some people who don't pay attention, who don't care, who don't think their job as citizens require them to study and learn this stuff.
This one is from Sean, subject heading Path of Least Resistance on Impeachment. Trump is vulgar and unconventional and often behaves in ways that make me cringe. But is the other side so lily white and perfect? Politico is now saying Marie Yovanovitch denied visas to several Ukrainian officials who are coming to the U.S. to testify against Biden and his son for their involvement in a corrupt foreign business. Giuliani alluded to this last night.
Oh,
and
I
she wonders.
I can't believe anything that man
says.
I
want to see that.
All right, let me finish.
Sorry.
Let me finish Sean's letter. The Democrats have taken the path of least resistance to get Trump impeached, namely by going through the diplomatic community, which largely dislikes him. But the case against Trump isn't all clear. Has Trump done anything worse than Democratic leaders before him? The Dems can wrap themselves in the flag and quote Constitution all they want, but this process seems entirely political and, as a result, entirely unfair. It's impossible to support impeachment when the doings of the diplomatic community in their entirety are so cloudy and still unknown as well.
You know,
and that's from
Sean.
This
sounds like deep state.
You know, nobody would ever be in jail in this country.
Yeah,
ever.
Right.
Go to prison. Because of the great argument, somebody else once did it. robbing a bank, you can't argue that other people have robbed banks before and gotten away with it. You just can't.
The other part of it is that Trump asked a foreign leader to get involved in our election. That is a pure
violation
of the law and the office. And so, yeah, there is something there, and that's it.
All right, this one is from Andrew in Ulster Park. In November 2020, everybody needs to get out and vote. I'm talking to you, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Michigan. And then we need to abolish the Electoral College, outlaw gerrymandering, and make it permissible to indict a sitting president. Donald Trump is the worst, just saying. And thank you again, panel, for all you do. And that's from Andrew in Ulster Park.
Thanks,
well, Andrew makes a series of points. However, how do you do that? I mean, everybody knows that the Electoral College, we would be better off without it. We certainly would. You know, we saw what happened. The majority of Americans didn't have their way in a fair election.
Right. Let's not forget that, you know, Hillary won by 3 million votes.
That's what
I just
said.
This was a handful of votes in a couple of election districts that swayed the college, the Electoral College. So.
No, but the point of the writer was you have to do all of these things, and the writer was exactly right. We should do all of that. The Supreme Court should turn around and say all of a sudden, okay, gerrymandering is illegal. They're not going to do it. So then all you political scientists and politicians and others, how do you achieve that goal? That's the question, not that we should.
There's a way
how.
To do it, and we do know it. It just isn't easy and fast. And the Supreme Court didn't say gerrymandering is good. They said it's up to the states. So that means Democrats need to, as they have been for the past 2 years, finally, getting off their duffs and winning back seats in state elections, state legislatures.
However, Felix Frankfurter said all those years ago, this court has to stay out of that political thicket, and it's held up. And the court has continued to do that.
Right. Right. So it has to be done at the state level.
This is from Carol, subject heading Waitress and Hillary. Hello, folks. The lovely waitress who spoke to Rosemary illustrated a very Victorian way of thinking. The wife is painted with the soilage of the husband. Bill transgressed. Trump grabbed at women's private areas, slept with porn stars and others he paid off. But Hillary was a pig, huh?
No, that's
from Carol.
No, her point of view, and this is a valid point of view. And she also, by the way, came over and apologized for talking politics as if that would offend us. And I told her, no, definitely, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. But her point was that for a woman whose job is, of all women, is to bring life in the world, to be in favor of abortion was an abomination, and she should never represent the United States. That's why she called her a pig.
Okay.
Right, because context. She was pro-choice.
Yeah, she should. She said Hillary should be pro-life. And I actually have maintained that the one valid reason for voting for Trump if you're a woman, and the only one, is if you are anti-abortion.
Yeah, except that he's not really anti-abortion.
He actually was pro-abortion for a long time.
It's a political expediency.
For the vast majority of his adult life,
he was pro-choice.
Yes, right.
It's just pure political expediency.
I understand that, but intent aside, his policies have been anti-abortion. They continue to be in the new budget bill. Abortion is out.
Right. And it's not his policies.
He now puts up pro-life
judges.
Yeah.
So it's Mike Pence's policies.
This waitress, who I defend, and the restaurant's amazing, go there, she's valid. She has a vow. She disagrees with me, but I don't think she's stupid or uneducated.
Fair
although
enough.
She should know that what Trump actually said.
More importantly,
about
how was the pie?
Oh, it's the wild blueberry. Oh my God.
The Swiss almond.
Oh, that's good.
I haven't had that in about 40 years, but I still remember it. Yeah. Let's take a break, and we'll talk about pie some more. Panel at WAMC.org is the email address. It's the roundtable panel. Libby Post, J.P. Miller, Jen Smith, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Shartok, and we will be back. Welcome back to the roundtable. Everybody popping to the old Spira Gyra. J.P. Miller, you're really moving it and grooving it. 10:46 is the time. This is bonus time on the roundtable panel. Alan Shartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, J.P. Miller, Libby Post, Jen Smith. And this one is from Lee in Greenwich, New York. Will the public ultimately dictate Trump's impeachment? Fox polls tend to demonstrate a shifting electorate aside from it coming from this particular news outlet. How should we take these results shedding light on independents' discontent? Again, can this president weather the storm, and will impeachment with removal drive him to more desperate measures? And that's from Lee. Who's to predict, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This one is from Daniel. I'm digging the bass sounds coming from the panelist's phone vibrating near the mic. Okay. All right.
Wasn't a panelist.
No, that was me. And he says, keep up the experimental soundscapes. I never bring my phone with me.
That's true.
Today, I'm looking for a text to come through. It's on silent, but it's leaning on our mic boom, which really should have some sound baffling. It's hollow. And it vibrates right through the mic. We found I got a call. I never get a call on my phone. And so I apologize.
But you should say what the call is for. Yeah. That's kind
of because my kids are getting out of school early.
Yeah.
But they texted thrice to tell me that
yeah,
already.
Yeah, but they cover all their bases, and as a school district should. They want you to make sure.
Are you on the payroll?
Because
no,
of,
I'm not. Okay. I'm not. But,
because of the circumstances, right. We have forgiven.
Right.
But anyway, I love that letter. And I apologize. And I was, if you heard me during the break, I was colorfully complaining about that. This is from Stephen. Cost of impeachment? To those who purport that government money not be spent on impeachment, haven't Republicans spent much more on the Benghazi hearings and attempts to repeal the ACA? Mm-hmm. Duality of Republican arguments getting old.
And the Mueller report actually made money for the U.S. government because of all the confiscation of material that they found. So. Yeah. The Russians, who were indicted.
Paul Manafort's homes in the Hamptons.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
It all adds up.
One thing you can count on from politicians is not a consistent. They were playing the tapes back of Schumer in the Clinton impeachment.
Or of Lindsay.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They all do this, and so
it's
we shouldn't.
Political expediency. Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be surprised
on what will keep them in office.
This is from Christopher and Schoharie. Yo, the panel and this radio station are the best thing out there for news. But let me articulate the point that Trump cheated on the last election and is doing so for 2020. How would holding an election be a referendum on his actions when he can cheat to win the election as he is trying to do? The impeachment is because he cheated. This is a ridiculous point by the Republicans and middle-of-the-road Democrats.
That's a good point.
We'll argue that another
there's
time.
There's a lot that can be done to shore up elections, whether it's cybersecurity, whether it's addressing gerrymandering, whether it's looking at campaign finance. I mean, this country is very much overdue for some really hardcore
Something so simple, Jen, as paper backups, which is a bill sitting on McConnell's desk untouched.
Well, it's supposedly in the budget deal. They put money in for election security.
They did, yes.
You know, which I was surprised at.
Now, if Trump cheated the 2016 election, which has been stated by Schiff over and over again in the last couple of weeks.
And by Mueller.
How did Trump
collusion. There is evidence of Russian interference to benefit Trump. That's cheating. He embraced it and welcomed it. Yes, it is.
Yeah, he wanted it.
He welcomed
Look,
it.
That's the Russians meddling
Russia,
in an election.
Go find the emails. And the next day they came.
And you saw
and
Trump standing
it.
Up there right. in the very no. beginning. Right, talking about I love the Russians. I love the Russians. And what do you think that was all about, Raymond?
And I love
know.
The uneducated.
But I'm saying if he cheated the election, that would have been impeachment one, and it would have been within the first 6 months.
Okay, so you know it's like this: everybody who ran his campaign is now in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Or going to jail.
This
or
one's
be
from,
pardoned.
And honestly, if you're a decent candidate at all, you know what's going on in your campaign. You are, because the buck stops with you.
I don't
you.
Really think anyone accused him of being a decent candidate.
But that's the way things are done. And everyone around him is on their way to jail or in jail who worked on that campaign. I'm sorry, he was complicit.
JP?
He knew.
He should be easy to beat this time.
He should be, and he will
Do you
be.
Think so?
No, I think he's very tough to beat, but I'm saying if he cheated on the last campaign, you think he'd be easy to beat this time, right?
This one's from
not
Jeremy.
Not if he's still cheating. Wait, I don't get your point.
Okay, well, let's move on.
I'm not being obstructionist. I just truly don't understand.
You're in obstruction of the panel, and that is impeachable. This is from Jeremy in Norfolk, Connecticut. The New York Times had an article on Sunday that laid out the impeachment process step by step. The final paragraph in the article indicated that even if the Senate failed to remove Trump from office with a two-third majority, they could vote to disqualify him from holding future office. According to the Times, if such a vote were held, only a simple majority would be required to prevent Trump from running in 2020. Is this true? And that's from Jeremy.
Wow.
Yeah. I have read that also, but we're not going to acquit him, and so therefore.
That's interesting, though.
Wow, that is.
I mean, we are going to acquit him, so we're not going to get to that. It's another one of, what did you call it, Alan? Those desperate hopers.
Right. Well, you wonder whether or not that kind of a letter, while technically correct, overlooks the fact that Mitch McConnell is in charge, and he's saying nothing doing. Right. We're not doing anything. We're going to, and he has made it clear, I'm going to do whatever the president tells me to.
All right. This is from Barbara. The real issue for 2020 is the Senate. If the McConnell continues, please pre-read. I'm having a tough enough time as it is. If the McConnell continues to lead the Senate, won't matter if the Democrats win the presidency. Does anybody think McConnell would work with Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg? And if Biden won, Biden would have given everything to McConnell? Please focus on how we can defeat the Republican Senate. And that's from Barbara.
Well, I think Barbara makes an extraordinarily good point.
Get to break up the band.
I think one of the things that the Senate could be, that the Democrats could be saying here is, okay, people, you may want Trump, but you got to cover your bets. You got to have a Senate that will say no to him, as well as a House. And that will bring democracy back into focus. I think that's a powerful argument.
Right. Mm.
This one's from Anne in Connecticut. Thank you to JP for the first professional-level Bernie report I've heard in what seems like forever on the panel. I hope you can all continue to take emotions out of your consideration of who should be the next Democratic POTUS candidate. Best to all and happy holidays from Anne.
JP's going to stick that on his fridge.
JP's going to keep that one.
Who After, was the writer?
Anne in Connecticut. Why? You think it was Bernie in Vermont?
Thank you, Mom.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay, this one's from Doug. Very happy for the longer panel. If McConnell and Graham and others are already saying they'll vote to acquit and coordinating their work with the White House, are they opening themselves up to charges of failing to discharge the duties of their office? This is particularly true since the oaths they take prior to the impeachment trial indicate that they swear to be impartial. If so, can they be impeached? How and by whom? And that's from Doug.
Come on.
That was a short answer.
Next.
Wow. Ooh, sure. Simmer down there. We got a couple minutes to fill. This is from This is from Millard in Ripton, Vermont. I agree that the media does not equally cover Bernie and his popularity. Bernie says that he will be limiting the power and influence of the corporations, and the media are corporations. So it's in the interests of the popular media to downplay Bernie's popularity and his potential to change this country in positive ways. We voters should vote for who we want to see in the White House and not for who we want to get out of the White House. I want to see Bernie in the White House, and we'll vote for it. And that is from Mac in Ripton.
Now, that's a fascinating letter. Think about that for a second. So what you're saying is we shouldn't be concerned more about getting rid of Trump than who we get in on the Democratic side, and even it might be a pro-Bernie argument. I vigorously disagree. I think the main thing now is to get rid of Trump.
Well, I would also point out that Bernie was welcome last time to go get votes, and he did not get them.
Right.
And the superdelegates, yes, okay, that was, they rightfully would
the
have supported Hillary.
Bit, yeah.
The fix was not in. We never got to the point of superdelegates.
Donna
he
Brazile
lost
said
in.
The fix was in.
Donna Brazile, please.
Oh, please.
Yes, the Fox
she was in
commentator.
Charge.
No.
Well, at the time, she was not a Fox commentator.
Come on. Come on.
She was chairwoman
Bernie
of the
never
DNC.
Really came out strongly for Hillary. He never did what he needed to do to get his people to vote for her.
But before that, he didn't get the votes to beat her either.
No,
why the rules that were there. Let us not forget this.
Why did Debbie Wasserman Schultz resign the party chairmanship?
It was about emails.
Because she supported, the emails were released, and it said that she was
strongly
in support of Hillary. And I maintain, why would she not be? Hillary spent years working for and raising money for the party. Bernie's not even a real Democrat.
Right.
Are you really shocked that the Democratic National Committee was in favor of Hillary? And Bernie knew the rules when he took on the contest. He thought he could win. And he might have if he had people, supporters, who didn't just write into WAMC, but actually went to the polls and voted. And he didn't. And he lost fair and square, and then he was a sore loser about it. And that's why I'm emotional about him.
What do you mean?
He hurt Hillary, and he's one of the reasons, along with the Russians, that Trump is in office.
Absolutely, he is.
So there.
Didn't just write to WAMC. Come on.
They went to his rallies in great numbers, and they bullied women, and
they're the Bernie
the bros. They were awful. Yeah.
They're the guys from the 1960s and 1970s who are still far to the left and who hated women then, and they don't like them now.
Can I just make one
quick comment?
Go ahead,
Jen. That seems to be a huge generalization.
So the letter writers point to about... big media influencing, who gets heard the candidate. I mean, there is some of that, but it didn't work in Kamala Harris's favor, for
that's
example.
True.
So I think that's also worth noting.
Still, I had a flashback of 2.5 years ago here in Rosemary and Libby going off here. That was, all right.
No, I had this resolution not to talk about Bernie anymore, although I will vote for him if he is the nominee. But it's just so annoying.
Now, here's an ironic
letter. The rewritten history is so annoying.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I enjoy listening to the show, especially Rosemary Armeo. I find Rosemary to be the most objective, and she tends to focus on the most important points. Anyway, I find it somewhat frustrating that you don't use the power that you have in promoting a candidate. You've been talking about Bernie not being able to win for quite some time now. Don't you realize how much sway you have in public opinion?
Whoever is the Democrat, Libby and I both have said this, we're the two probably biggest Hillary fans of 2016. We have both said that we will support strongly whoever the Democrats nominate.
The question is, what about vice versa? In other
words,
will
the Democrats support us?
No, what about the Bernie
people? Who's at the top of the ticket?
Will they behave differently this time than some of them may have behaved?
That's the 99-cent question. I mean, it really is. Because some of those folks are just want what they want without regard to the consequences.
All right. To be truthful, it's not really a radio station's job.
Well, that's the other part. You can't. The radio station itself cannot endorse a candidate.
Right.
Number one, you're a 501c3.
Thank you.
And you're not allowed to. What she 501c3s are not allowed to engage in partisan politics. We can all express our opinions because that's what this station makes available. And that it's the airwaves, they come free.
Well,
so
we're
let's
out of
just
time.
Be clear
but,
about
but
that.
Thank you, as my
You're
legal
welcome.
As my legal representative. I appreciate that,
no
Libby
problem.
Post. Thanks to Jen Smith for making it all the way over here. J.P. Miller, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok. Thank you all for listening. Now, remember, there's much more to come on the roundtable. We have book picks coming up, and we have Ian Pickus talking to Adam Platt about being a glutton. It's all ahead on the roundtable.